Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to be a good night. Amen. Kathy? I'm going to try. She knows what I'm talking about. When you've tried to preach a message several times, and every time you end up trying to preach it, you go in a different direction. And just to be totally honest with you, I'm going to put a few things in that I had not actually studied when I originally prepared this message. Amen. Y'all are going to laugh at me when I get ready to tell you this. You're going to laugh with me, not at me, but with me, I guess is a better word. When I first started, I told Kathy, I gave her the notes and stuff on this message. It might be dated, I don't know. But I actually prepared this message several weeks ago. According to my notes, February the 3rd, 2023. Got you, didn't I? I've been kindly trying to get it out ever since then. So I'm going to try to preach part of it tonight. I won't get done with it, I don't think. Because if I preach this message in February, I would have preached this message different than I'm going to preach it tonight. I think over the last several days and several services and several weeks, the message this morning, God showed me something different about this message that I didn't see before. If you look with me in the Bible in 1 John, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then you got 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter number 1. And I want to go into verse number 5. And I want to share with you, I believe, what God has put into my heart for tonight. Again, I'm not going to try to get done with it. And to be totally honest, I'm going to end up preaching this in a different way than what I originally studied it, because of where I feel like we're at tonight. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, let's read it together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Stretch your hands this way and pray for me as we pray together. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you, Father God, for the time that you've given us to come here this evening, God, to hear the word of the Lord. Lord, not what I would have to say here tonight, but what needs to be said here this evening that would bring glory and honor and praise to your name. Father, I thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father God, for the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us as we hear the Word of God, that, God, that we would apply the Word of God to our hearts, and that when we leave this place today, it'll bring you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess the reason I didn't preach this message in that setting a few weeks ago is simply because the way God has dealt with me over the last several days and brought me back to this message again, but in a different way. So when we look at verse number 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and God is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know that scripture very well. Romans actually teaches us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart, we shall be saved. Now, if I'm going to preach this message the way I feel it tonight, I've got to change it a little bit right here. Because I want to ask us, the original title was Confession, God's Pathway to Salvation. I believe as I look around, and I would assume by assumption, and those that are able and those that are of age and those that understand salvation, I would assume that everybody in the room has had a salvation experience. That is not always a good assumption. It's not always a fair assumption. But there's something deeper going on here in my heart this evening because of the way I feel and where I feel like the church is at today. When we look at this word, and John was writing this, where he says, if we confess our sins. Now, we all know the ABC of Romans road of salvation. The Bible, we see this throughout Romans road, and you know, we use the little acronym ABCs that we have to ask. Whatsoever things you ask in faith believing, if you'll ask God for it, you have not because you ask not. The Bible says the B in the Romans road of salvation, the B is believe. You've got to believe in your heart. And then he says the C is confession. Confession is made unto salvation. Now here's where we're at this evening. I think confession has a lot more to do with you and I one time in a word that would be out our mouth, if you will, in the admittance that we have sinned and we have come short of the glory of God. For salvation, that's fantastic. For salvation, that's great. But here's what else God dealt with me about. This is why God didn't let me preach this message then, because it wasn't for them, but it was for now. You've got to confess. If we confess our sins, yes, Lord, I have sinned. Yes, Lord, I have fallen short. Yes, Lord, I have miserably fallen. And God, I've miserably sinned against you. But what about confession in our everyday walk with God? Every day you and I have an opportunity to either confess Him or to deny Him. And the whole world sees our confession by our walk. The Bible says this, and John actually talks about this when you go back into verse number 5, and he says this, that in God there is absolutely no darkness at all. If you and I say with our mouth that we are Christians and that we love God, but yet our walkie-walkie is not equaling our talkie-talkie, we're in trouble. Because our confession is not lining up with our life. And what God really wants to do, God is wanting you and I to be the people that He's called us to be in all areas of our confession. I don't know about you, but I can just imagine in my own heart and in my own mind that there is not a person in this room that I'm talking to this afternoon that would enjoy sin. Sin is a deliberate, intentional act against God, and you know that you're doing it against God while you're doing it. And I would not think that anybody in this room would deliberately and intentionally do that. So when we begin to look at the scripture here this evening, this is, I believe, what God would have us to look at. He said again, if we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So when I begin to look at this scripture, I begin to look at this word, confession. Again, there's Greek words that goes along with this. That some Greek words I don't even know how to pronounce. I'm sorry, but if you speak Greek, you can teach me how to say those words. But when you think about these words, homeogiglio or gileo, however you say that particular word, it is a word that is actually a two-part word. And it talks about God's confession and our confession to God. And it's a two-part word, homos, and then lego or lego. And he talks about the first part of that Greek word means same. If any man say that he walks with God, if you look at this scripture, but he don't walk and he walks in darkness, we're not walking to the same thing. We're not walking as God would have us to walk. And then not only are we to walk by the same rule, but he also talks about this word lego, L-E-G-O. It's a two-part word, and it actually means to speak. So again, when you look at this word and what John was actually saying, it was a word that you and God need to be on the same page. You and God need to be speaking the same thing. You and God need to be walking together. Now when you look at this, again, looking at it a little bit deeper, this word confession is a word that actually means to assent or accord or agree with. We know that in the Old Testament, in the book of Amos, it talks about can two walk together except they agree. Now I want to talk about this as I'll move forward in this just for a few moments. Is our confession, or how is our confession, or what is our confession? Is our confession a confession that actually lives up and glorifies that you and I are walking with God? That we are walking to the same drumbeat, if I will, if I can say it like this. When we begin to look at the scripture, and John was writing this, we understand as we look at this, God has designed a way for man to be in a right relationship with Him. There was a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon years ago that in a message, he talked about men and he talked about man and how that man was inferior to God, if you will, but God had made a way for man to come into a right relationship with God. And he writes these words and he says, we know that confession of sin is absolutely necessary unto salvation. Now watch this. Unless there be a true and a hearty confession of our sins to God, we have no promise that we shall find mercy through the blood of the Redeemer. Britannica Dictionary begins to use the word of God confession like this. It's also called, as we talk about in the church world today, as reconciliation, penance, as in the Judeo-Christian tradition, if you will, or the walk of Christians, to acknowledge the acknowledgement of sinfulness in public or private, regarded as necessary to obtain divine forgiveness. Now, stay with me for just a minute. I got to work through this. Again, confession of sin denotes the acknowledgement of sin to the Lord, whether at the beginning of the Christian life or as an ongoing practice throughout the Christian life. Now, this is where it really gets good. We think about the word confession. There's two different ways that I'm going to look at this. First of all, we see in this homeologio, that is that, again a Hebrew word that is translated, or the Greek word that's translated into from Hebrew into the Greek. There's three different things here that I want you to look at. The word confess or the word confession. Okay, y'all ready for this? So in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, the Greek word, again, when we look at this, homeolegio, is translated to three different words. First of all, Sherry knows this. She actually shared this word with me years ago. It is a word that is spelled Y-A-D-A, yada, or yada. When you think about this word yada, it is actually a word that, again, we're talking about confession. It means to speak the same thing, to confess. Yada in the Hebrew translated into the Greek, watch this. When you look at the word confession in that context, Brother Beckner, guess what it means? It means praise. Your confession is your praise to God. What is your confession this evening? When you think about the words that come out of your mouth, when you think about who Jesus is, when we think of our testimony this evening, when we think about what Jesus has done on the internal, innermost beings of who we are, what is your confession this evening? My yada, my praise, if you will, is the glory and the praise and the honor unto Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only yada, but there's nadar. Nadar, N-A-D-A-R, is a word that actually means that as a part of our confession, this is what it means. It means to make a vow, if you will. When I make a confession with my mouth, not only am I making a praise unto God, but I'm also, when you look at this, it is I'm making a vow to God to serve Him and to love Him and to honor Him and to walk for Him. So we look at the third word here is Shabbat. When we look at this S-A-B-I-B-A, it is a word, and here we understand it as swear. We look at that, we're not supposed to swear, but we look at that as you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. We look at it in the context that we're telling the truth, the whole truth, the absolute truth, and we're not telling a lie. Our confession, when we look at this, again, we look at this as a word as we make our confession unto God. Our confession, watch this, our confession is our praise. Or His praise when we confess Him as Lord and Savior of our life. Are y'all okay tonight? When we glorify God and when we magnify God and when we confess God as Jesus is Lord, when we openly confess Him, when we go into the marketplace, not only do we confess Him out of our mouth, but we confess Him with our praise. Oh, my friend, when we think about that, that is awesome this evening, because when we go out in the marketplace, your confession is praise to God. If there's anything that we need to do in the church today, if we need to go back and make our vow to God today, it is one of those things that we do to praise Him and Him alone, that God is worthy of our praise, and your confession praises God. Are we okay? So we look at it a little bit deeper. We look at this word confession again. It's a H-O-M-O-L-O-G-I-A. Homologigo. Again, the Greek word, and it's, again, there's three different Greek words that goes along with that as well. Again, as you break this down, it's nibada. Again, I don't know how to say these Greek words, but I can tell you the definition of them according to the Vine's Dictionary of the Bible. Now think about it. Your confession is your praise. When you confess with your mouth, it is praise to God. When you confess with your mouth, it is to make a vow. I've made a vow to God. When I declare that Jesus is Lord of my life, it's more than just whispering a prayer. It's more than just following a preacher and say these words after me. It's more than just repeating a sinner's prayer just because a preacher tells you to say a sinner's prayer. It is something that comes from the innermost being of who you are this evening. And my friend, he says if you confess, you are declaring, you are praising God, you're making a vow. You're making a commitment. Then this next one, it is this other Greek word, nebaa, if you will, N-E-D-A-B-A-H, and it is called a free will offering. In the Old Testament, you were always to bring an offering before God. You are always to bring an offering and give an offering before God. Yes, I know that Jesus Christ is the ultimate offering for your sin and my sin. But when you look in Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2, you look at that in the Scripture. And as you begin to look at Romans 12 and 1, this is what he says. And he says this in the Word. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as you give yourself to God. Freely give yourself to God. He said to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, if you will, acceptable unto God as your reasonable service. Verse number 2 says this, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, when you look at this, it's a free will offering. When you make your confession before God, not only do we praise Him, not only do I make a vow, not only do I swear, if you will, but yet we look as it being a free will offering, not because you've been coaxed, not because your arms been held behind your back and twisted until you cry uncle, if you will, but it is something that I automatically and voluntarily do when I make my confession. Now let me just make you all really mad at me for a minute. I've never yet to understand why we have to be pumped and primed, begged, pleaded with for the church to praise God. We ought to be exuberant. We ought to be excited to praise God. Preacher shouldn't ever have to say, come on somebody, give God a praise. Come on somebody, clap your hands unto God. Come on somebody, let's stand on our feet and give the Lord a glory. Let's stand on our feet and give God the praise. If we can only think about what God has done for us, I mean, we ought to be the most exciting people on earth. And then he says that we give ourselves freely unto God. Your confession is an outward sign to an onward-looking world that you have given yourself to God. Your confession. Third thing here, it means to make a vow. I don't know your salvation story. I don't know where you got saved. I don't know when you got saved. I can only talk about me and share you a little bit because we were together and we were there. But it is a vow. It is a vow that you have taken before God. God, I'll serve you all the days of my life. I didn't know anything about salvation. I didn't know anything about anything when I got saved. I didn't know anything. But yet, Brother Russell, to this day, and thank God for what he done for me that Sunday morning, because it was genuine. I made a vow to God. Didn't understand it all. I admit, I got saved and didn't even understand it. I got saved and I didn't even know what it meant. I got saved and I didn't even know what was going on inside of me. The only thing I know is Wanda Parkins come to me on the back near about where Delma's at. She said, Alan, we love you. Do you want to go pray? And I said, yes, I do. First time in my life, anybody that I remember, anybody ever telling me that they loved me. And I was 18 years old. And I got up and came to about this spot at the Clyde Church of God. Brother Steve, something happened that day. Jesus came into my heart. Don't get mad at the preacher. It's too late on a Sunday night to do that. I've never had anybody, Brother Russell, have to come looking for me, beg me, plead with me, anything, Brother West, to get me to come back to God's house after I got saved. It was such a marvelous and a glorious and a wonderful transformation of life that we made our vow to God. Your vow is your confession is your vow. When you go out into the marketplace and we leave this place and we go back on our jobs and when we go back around our family, Sherry and I, we came up, not so much now, but we came up around family that were not Christians. We came up around family that wouldn't give us spit in a jar for our relationship with God. But you know what? She and I, we put our hand on the plow and we just kept on digging. And here it is 35 years, 40 years later, whatever. Hey, and what happened to us when we were teenagers? Come on, somebody. It's just as good tonight as it was way back then. Say amen right there. Thank you. Because you make a vow. Your confession is a vow. Not only is your confession praise, and it means to, the next thing is todah, T-O-D-A-H. It is a word that means to praise or to honor. When you glorify God, when you confess with your mouth, and you believe in your heart, the word confess, when you look at that, it means to honor. Your confession honors God. Your confession, when you praise God, when you glorify Him, when you declare Jesus to be Lord of, over your life, it is honoring God, my friend. It is giving God the honor that is due His name. I like this next part. Again, the different words, when you look at the different Greek words, and you, the different Hebrew and Greek words, when you break it down, there's several different ones, and it leads you from one word to the next, and it talks about the different ways this word confess is understood. The next one is just simply this. Exomologeo. That's the way it's spelled. Exomologeo. Long O at the end. And it is a word that is taken from another word, P-S-A-L-L-O, a Greek word. And guess what it means? Y'all ready for this? Our singers need to hear this, not picking on our singers. But your confession also means, as we talked about this morning, to sing praise. It means to sing praise as well as to thank. When we think about praise, it means to glorify. Confession is an acknowledgement of God and to acknowledge that my help comes from God, from the Lord. Yada, when we think about this word yada again, it is a sense of praise, to praise or to a sense of acknowledging the Lord. Yada, a sense of to praise or to give glory or confession unto the Lord, acknowledging that He is the Lord. Let me just veer off to the right-hand side of this for a minute, because this is where I wanted to talk about something different that God put in my heart. Same message, same line of thought. It's because when we look at the Scripture, if we confess, again, if you go back and look at that, as we praise God or make a vow or honor God, and again, to sing praises unto God, that all of these words mean the same thing about confess. Walk together, walk in accord and agree. Admit, declare, confess. The Bible talks about this in Luke chapter 19. We're going to turn there vaguely, really quick. When we look at it, we're not going to go real deep into this, but I want to share a few things with you. This is before Jesus' crucifixion. Jesus knew that He would soon be crucified. If you go back and you read this in the context of the Easter message, it's when Jesus made His triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It's before Jesus stood before Pilate. It's before He was there, before all of those that accused Him. But yet something Jesus had told His disciples, to go over to the city and get a young foal, the colt of an ass, the Bible says, and bring it unto Me. And if anybody says, why are you doing this? Tell them, the Lord has need of him. And they'll let him go. And Jesus knew that. And they let them have the colt. Jesus began to go into the city, and all the people that was there, they began to praise God. They began to magnify God. And Matthew reads it one way, and then Luke reads it another way. They begin to take their coats and they begin to throw them on the ground. And the entry came, the colt came, and Jesus was there. And they began to cry out, Hosanna! Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna means save. Hosanna means help us, help now. And all the people was crying out. All the people was crying to God. And they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna unto the Lord. And then all these religious people that was there the day, the Pharisee and all those that was around, it said that in verse number 37, again, this is Luke chapter 19. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mountain of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. Yada, they began to praise. They began to make their confession, the Bible said, and they praised God with a loud voice. This was their confession. What is our confession? Let me just share this off record for a second. It's not in the notes. God didn't save you for you to keep your salvation to yourself. God didn't save you to put you quietly over in some corner somewhere and never go public with your testimony. But God saved you so that you could go out into a lost and a dying world to let a lost and a dying world know that Jesus saves. When you begin to look at this, we see this in the Word, and it said that they began to praise God with a soft little meek voice. That's not what it says. And I know everything's not emotional, and I know everything don't have to be loud. I'm just simply telling you what was happening in the city. And I'll go ahead and say this. Sometimes we need to get loud in the right way. Sometimes we need to praise God loudly in the right way. You say, Jesus wasn't loud. Really? Go back to John 11 and read the story of Lazarus. And Lazarus was in the tomb. Mary and Martha twisting their hands and wringing their hands and worrying, and what's going on? And Jesus, why the delay? If you'd only been here, our brother Lazarus, he wouldn't have died. I know Jesus said in verse 25, you don't need to turn there. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he was dead, he shall live again. And then Jesus cried with a loud voice. And he told Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And in paraphrase, he that was dead walked out of the grave. The grave clothes had to let him go. Sometimes you may have to get a little loud in order to get your breakthrough. Let that sink in a little bit. So we see this again in the Scripture, where we see that how that God with a loud voice, they praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen or that they had seen. Could you imagine this? Here Jesus is coming to town, and here this man that came not to do away with the law but fulfill the law, and here this one was being magnified, that the Pharisee didn't know what to do with him, and all the people, the religious crowd of the day, they absolutely hated his guts. But when they saw him, all the people began to praise God and magnify him, glorify him. You could just imagine in your own mind the temperament of the atmosphere from all the onlookers of the day that had never experienced Jesus in the way that those disciples had experienced him. And I just need to say this on top of that, that the world don't understand us. The world don't understand why we come to church on Sundays. They'd rather mow their yard. The world don't understand why we glorify God and magnify God. The world don't understand why we've made a vow. They'd rather be at home watching NFL. They'd rather be somewhere doing something else. But you and I know. You and I know why we're here. You and I know why there's a praise up on our lips. You and I know why there's a song in our heart. We know what the Lord has done. Come on, somebody. We know what's going on the inside of us. And then again, they praised God with a loud voice. They praised Him for all of His mighty works. This was their confession. This is what was coming out of their mouth for all that they had seen Him do. Look at verse 38. The Bible says, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This was their confession. This is what they were saying. This is what was echoing in the streets as Jesus came into the garden, from the garden over to where they were at. Again, where the Bible said, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. What a time that must have been. What a time it was. Hey, can I tell you again that your praise is contagious? Your praise is contagious. If we just praise God and magnify God, particularly on Sunday morning when the Sunday morning saints come and they don't understand why you're shouting. They don't understand sometimes why we're glorifying God and magnifying God. But he says here again, this is what they were saying, blessed is the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were infuriated. There wasn't but one king. And here this man by the name of Jesus was coming to town declaring himself to be the king. Rome didn't like that. Pilate didn't like that. Herod didn't like that. None of them liked it. But yet the people was excited. Their confession was, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. Glory in the highest. When we look at this again and we look verse 39, this is what he says. And the Pharisee and some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke your disciples. Just tell them to be quiet. Just tell them that all this is not necessary. Tell them that they're really disrupting our order of service. Just tell them that all this is not needed. We ain't got but one king. Caesar's king. And here he is declaring himself to be king. What a time that must have been. In the middle of a world today that's declaring before you that the world system, the economy of our system, the economy of our world is king. No. It's time for you and I to get up in our confession and declare before a dark and a dying world. I'm not going to talk about the latter part of this message tonight because I didn't feel like that's what God gave me for tonight. About the salvation part of confession. We'll get it another time. But what is your confession? Are you just a Sunday morning, Sunday night type of person that kind of just likes God on Sunday? The rest of the week, I'm kind of like, yeah, take it, leave it. Nah. God can't work through people like that. Are you one of these radical people that love Him on Monday and love Him on Tuesday and love Him on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Your confession is just the same on Monday. Your praise is just the same on Monday as it was today on Sunday. You got to confess with your mouth. Let your confession be yea and amen. So the Pharisee said, hey, tell them to be quiet. Oh, that's not necessary. Oh, that's not necessary. Then he says in verse 40, this is my favorite verse of the night. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that, if these should hold their peace. Now, I don't want to do any injustice to the Word of God, because there are those that would challenge me on certain things. So let me say it like this. If there are those that should hold their confession, that's what they were doing. They were going public with their confession. He said that if they hold their peace, he said, I've got a bunch of rocks around here that'll start confessing. Nature's going to start crying out. These rocks are going to start crying out. You say, well, that's really way, way out there. It may seem to be way, way out there, but God says in the Psalms, let everything praise God. All of creation. Let the hills and the trees and everything that He ever created confess Him. If I had time and if it was necessary this evening, I'd go back over to the book of Philippians and I would show you in the book of Philippians where the Bible says that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Confess. If these hold their peace, these stones are going to cry out. Immediately cry out. I don't want to miss that word. Because when I looked over this, I I looked at that word several times immediately. In other words, God's going to get praise. God's going to get glory. God's going to get honor. But if we don't do it, if you don't do it, guess what? The person next to you might get your blessing. I don't want anybody getting my blessing. Come on, somebody. And God said again, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. I want to be saved. Not hope so, maybe so, think so, could have been so, might have been so. But he said that with our confession, even in the book of Revelation, as you stand with me, even in the book of Revelation, they were made overcomers. What? By the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Your testimony, your confession is going to set the pace for the rest of your life. I promise you, your life will follow your words. I promise you that. Your life will follow your words. Now, here's one little nugget. Somebody says, well, I don't want to confess something that I really don't feel. It's not about your feeling. It's about who Jesus, according to that word, already is. Heaven declared him as God's Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, Brother West. We don't have to feel it. We just have to confess it. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. And God, I thank you for thy word. Thy word is true. And Lord, without you and without your word, we cannot do anything at all. Lord, I pray, God, that you would take this effort this evening and use it for thy glory. Lord, let our confession be more than just attending church. Let our confession be more than just going through a routine. Let our confession be more than just showing up and sitting on a pew. But God, let our confession lead us every day. Every day, God, let our confession drive us to serving you, to loving you and honoring you. Lord, let us get up in our confession. Let us, oh God, declare before a lost and a dying world who Jesus is. Let our praise be yea and amen. God, that we have made our vow before you. And God, our vow becomes our praise, or our praise becomes our vow. And God, let everything that we do, as the psalmist said in Psalm 150, so let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and praise ye the Lord. So Father, let us get up in our confession. Let it be what we speak in agreement with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I believe tonight that you have a good confession. I believe tonight that you in this room have a good confession. I believe that is within me. Now take that confession into a lost and a dying world. Engage your world in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday night, and then we'll be back tomorrow.